Welcome to the We Are Calgary podcast,
where we talk about Calgary,
Calgarians, Calgary businesses, our community, and our culture. I'm your host, Jennifer Palmer.
Our guest today is the president and founder of One Broken Biker, a real estate agent here in Calgary, as well as the marketing director for Grover Law Firm. You may know her as Ride with Red. Welcome, Ashley Taylor.
Hi there.
Hi, Ashley. I'm Jennifer. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nice to meet you.
Now, I reached out to you and I didn't really explain too much about why I was reaching out, did I?
No.
I have tons of questions for you.
Wonderful.
I was taking a look at a lot of the marketing that you've been doing, and I wondered whether or not you were doing anything with regards to podcasts. Or doing a podcast tour or a podcast yourself or anything.
I haven't. I third person this week that I've been on a podcast. Yeah. Which is I've never done it before.
So how about this cold outreach from Facebook that you solicited you to
come? Yeah, it's all good. I'm always down with working with people and trying different things. So
Were you born in Calgary?
No, I am from Ontario.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved here when I was like 11 to Calgary.
And that was probably a few years before the accident that your dad had.
My dad's accident? Yeah, it was 2012. So.
Yeah, that, what it says, June 29th, 2012?
Yeah, my mom's birthday.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
And were you always into bikes?
No, I'm actually, like, I had always been into, like, dirt bikes and just, I kind of liked anything that was rugged and, you know, quadding or any backcountry stuff. And then in 2011, I was talking about, oh, I should get my motorcycle license and should start just working towards getting a motorcycle. And then my stepdad, Glenn, he was just like, you know, you don't need a motorcycle license to own a motorcycle. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, you could buy a motorcycle and we'll teach you how to ride. And immediately he's like, get in the truck, let's go. And we just went to Harley and I bought a motorcycle.
Like, okay, I have somebody to ride with now.
Yeah. And then we got it, I think that was probably in February of 2012. So I couldn't ride it. I couldn't take it home or anything. We left it at the dealership for a couple weeks, and then we loaded into the back of my dad's pickup truck and drove it to their house, unloaded it. I went up and down the alley a couple times. My dad's like, go down. Okay, come back. Okay, go again. He's like, you're good. Let's go. And then I just followed him, and he would signal to me what gear to be in, because I had understood the standard. I'd driven a standard car, so I understood the shifting and feeling that friction point. So he would just tell me, though, I didn't know what gear I was supposed to be in. So he would signal to me, gear down, gear up. And then, yeah, I did that for a couple weeks and picked it up right away. Like, I think that day we were on Deerfoot Trail, which, major highway.
The day you first got on the bike.
Yeah. I just got it, though. I just picked it up right away. I'd ridden dirt bikes, so I kind of understood how to ride.
But let's be honest, dirt bikes and road bikes are different.
Yeah, you got to actually watch where you're going when you're on a road bike.
There's other people, a lot more traffic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because you seem to have your fingers in a whole lot of different things. You're a realtor here in town. You've got the Ride with Red. I don't know if that's just your signature, as far as everybody knows Ashley's Ride with Red.
Yeah.
And then One Broken Biker. And you're also doing, is it marketing director for Grover Law Firm?
Yeah.
Where do you find your time to do all these things?
All of these things stem from that motorcycle accident, which is interesting. So it all, like, Grover Law Firm is a personal injury law firm that he is big into motorcycling and really understands motorcycle accidents. So it just kind of fit perfectly with me. But yeah, I got into the accident happened when my dad was recovering, going through everything. Like, you know, he's got broken arm, broken leg, or sorry, not broken leg, broken arm, broken back, neck. Like, he's in bad shape. We started to do a fundraiser. Let's start One Broken Biker. That just kind of started, yeah, just building. And then I realized that I'm really good at marketing. So I started doing all the social media and, you know, just learning the trends, learning how to meet people through social media. And then I ended up getting offered a position at Grover Law Firm. And then I have always loved real estate, but I never thought I would be a real estate agent. But I just love flipping houses. And I've been doing that for the last couple of years, just on the side. And I don't have kids or anything. So I don't have, I got to keep busy in the winter. And so,
right?
Yeah. And honestly, and that's the only time I really flip homes. And then I just decided, hey, I'm going to get my license, become an agent so that I can help other people that want to buy and sell properties. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of just all men together. Like, they're all stemming from OBB. But yeah.
And you don't feel overwhelmed by it all?
No, because I don't have, I don't know. I'm really ADHD, like severely. So for me, it's easy to just jump from one thing to another.
You actually need to. This is the understanding is that you need to be diverted. Your attention.
Yeah, and if I'm not doing something, I will go stir crazy. I end up getting into trouble and drinking too much and partying too, and then it just turns into I need something to focus on. So
sleep isn't it, right?
And with the organization and even with Grover Law Firm, like, I have a gentleman that, like, we have a marketing team now, so I'm the director of it, but I also have a gentleman that's helping me, I guess you call him my assistant, but he's more than that. He's a social media guru. And yeah, we just are doing it together. And then with the organization, there's 8 board members. So we all have, yeah, I just make sure, I just have fun. I'm just having fun.
No, that's the best part, having fun. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, exactly.
So One Broken Biker, June 29th, 2012, that's when basically you founded it and you're the president of One Broken Biker. But the first ride you mentioned was held in September 2012. Yep. And I believe you mentioned there was a friend of yours, Elizabeth, who helped organize that.
Yeah.
How long have you known Elizabeth?
So Elle and I worked together at a bar, funny enough. She was a bartender, I was a bartender. And then when my dad's accident happened, I basically couldn't work. Like, I couldn't even hold it together long enough to serve anybody any drinks. I couldn't have any conversations. So I was off work almost, I would say, as long as my dad was in the hospital. Probably at least 6 months I wasn't working, because I had witnessed that accident and I was so damaged mentally. Like, I just couldn't. And then everybody knew me in the bar industry. So they're like, how's your dad? And then I'm just a mess. Right. So I tried to go back multiple times, but I'd be halfway through my shift bawling my eyes out. And that's not a really good look for the bar, that the waitress is crying her eyes out, you know? I just couldn't hold it together.
But Elle, dramatic thing to witness. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I met Elle when I was 19 and we worked together, and then we worked together up until I was 24, 23 when we started. So I knew her for like 5 years-ish, and I'm still friends with her. She just resigned from the organization because she has a child and she doesn't live in Calgary, and it just, still adore her. And
it's not a good fit for.
Yeah. No. And it's honestly, OBB is such a time consuming organization, and we're trying to make it so that it's not so much work for the board members, but yeah, I'm probably putting 20 to 30 hours a week in the organization.
And you do have a board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have board of directors. There's probably about 50 of us in total that is running the organization between the injury outreach. Our board members are direct volunteers that like show up to everything. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so information that I've got here that I want to share is that you recently reached 10,000 followers on Facebook.
Yes.
Which was monumental.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to celebrate for sure. But another thing is that your recent stats are that there are 836 injured bikers that you've supported,
yeah,
and donations in the amount of 589,000, about?
Almost 600,000.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. So you would think 10,000 followers wouldn't be that hard to get at, but there was a couple years there we were pushing the Facebook page, but now I'm really pushing what we're doing and trying to, like, once COVID happened, we weren't able to go to the hospitals anymore. So we weren't able to do that direct connection to show, you know, the community, like, hey, this gentleman, this is who we're supporting. And it almost kind of just brought us down a bit. But now I have this new thing. Anytime I meet an injured rider, I'm like, hey, you want to do a video? So we can promote what we're doing and just talk about your accident or talk about where you're at now or how you've recovered and how that was for you. So
yeah, I've noticed a lot more of that recently.
Yeah, we're just really trying to push that because my biggest dream is that one day One Broken Biker is sponsored by all the major dealerships and all the major motorcycle brands like Harley and Suzuki. And I just I believe every motorcycle that is sold in a dealership should come with a One Broken Biker membership just off the hop.
Oh, there you go.
That's just kind of where I'm trying to, but it's just trying to figure out how we can join that relationship and just show we're a non-biased organization. We're very neutral, not religious. Don't care if you're in a club. We are not a club, but we just trying to push, you know, that we are a very clean organization. And we hope that someday we can get some sort of partnership with the big brand.
Okay, so that's some of the things I wanted to talk to you about is that Facebook, though, is your major platform, or what do you do on other? I know there's Instagram. I know you've got a LinkedIn profile, but are you doing much on those sites at all? So the YouTube channel?
Yeah, so like with One Broken Biker, we haven't been, and I'm trying to start to do that. With Ride With Red, my TikTok has like 70,000 people on it. So now I've been really trying to like push One Broken Biker on there to try and get them to the One Broken Biker Facebook page.
Right.
Or TikTok page or anything, trying to just cross-reference it so that we can get some of those followers to start following the other pages. And
right.
So it.
Wow. Yeah, it's an endeavor for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something I may be able to help with, but
yeah,
we could talk about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The many hats that you're wearing, the interest in bikes, all of this. I mean, becoming a biker yourself, how did that change things?
Becoming a biker?
Yeah.
It changed everything. It literally changed the course of my life. And I never for a second thought it would be this way. And funny enough, like I always feel bad. My dad and I always joke about the fact that, you know, his accident just totally took me onto a different road. Like I was a yoga teacher. I had just gotten back from 5 months or 4 months in Thailand learning yoga, came home and I was like, I'm going to be a yoga teacher. I'm going to take this spiritual path. And then bam, my dad's accident happened and the yoga kind of went out the window and I was like, I got to focus on creating this organization and helping more people because there's way more people out there that we don't even hear about these accidents.
Yeah. That's initially
trying to bridge the gap between the different groups because there's Harley riders, there's street bike riders, there's the stenters, like there's just a big variety of types of riders and trying to bridge that gap between them, that hey, you can all support One Broken Biker no matter what kind of riding you do.
Yeah, well, it's a different spiritual path that you've been put on.
You know, I this is something that recently just happened. So I kind of put together, if I wouldn't have gone on that retreat and I didn't go to Thailand and I spent all this money to go to this sanctuary and I spent 30 days learning yoga and ready to come home to teach it. And if I wouldn't have done that, I really do believe that my dad's accident would have derailed my life in such a different negative way.
Yeah.
But because I was struggling as a younger, early 20s, struggling with drugs and addiction and being out of control and, you know, not having anything to focus on other than partying, I decided to quit everything and I went to Thailand and then trying to reset my life. And I came back and it was months later. It was, what, 6 months later that he crashed. And I truly believe if I wouldn't have made that step to go to Thailand and try and reset my life, I probably would have ended up on the streets or, you know, just doing something, just gotten so fallen into the victim mentality of that accident. And I'm very thankful I did those steps first.
Yeah.
But
are you still practicing yoga and meditation? And
you know, I did my first yoga class probably a month ago in the last 3 years. And
as a,
amazing.
As an attendant, not an instructor.
No, yeah, I will never teach again. I would do it for fun just to teach. Like, if, yeah, I've got a couple girlfriends that are teachers, and if I had to like step in for them, I could totally do a class for them just to teach it, just to help them. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's not my, I would rather just be a student at that point because I've got a lot on my plate already.
We're not going to see a spin-off of Bikers and Yoga.
Ride with Yoga or Yoga with Red. Yeah.
Oh, bring your motorcycle to yoga. I'm going to see it. Oh my gosh. So there's lots of things that people can do to support One Broken Biker, right? They can donate, they can buy a yearly membership, they can volunteer,
mm-hmm.
share posts, they can talk about One Broken Biker, and they can become part of the community.
For sure.
Yeah. One Broken Biker, can you tell us about the bike nights that you do?
Yeah, so right now, like we currently have chapters popping up. Like we've got a Lethbridge, Edmonton. We've got one trying to start in Toronto, Nova Scotia. We've got one in Saskatchewan. So we've got these small chapters. They're very small right now. They've just started. So in Calgary, the Calgary chapter, yeah, we host a bike night every Wednesday in from May to end of September. And yeah, we show up to Big Sky Barbecue, which we've got a partnership with them. And they host us and let us bring 300 motorcycles there. And we usually try to have some sort of sponsored, other organizations will sponsor the event where it's, they gives them a platform to talk about their organization. And then we're still there with our bikes and trying to still raise money. We did try 1 year to separate and not do it that way and maybe jump around and do more of a remote. And it didn't work. It just, we didn't raise enough money where one location, same place, we're raising way more money for the organization and to help more injured riders. So we are back to Big Sky and it starts, the first Wednesday of May. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it runs every week. If it rains, we cancel it. But yeah, it's pretty fun.
Because it's outdoor, hey?
It is. Yeah, like there, if it's nice enough, we can still sit inside, but it's so much preferred to be outside. Yeah, he's got one of the biggest patios, I want to say, in North America. Don't quote me on that, but he seats like, I think it's like 250 people on his patio.
Where is this?
It's just outside of Okotoks and Calgary. So it's really
Calgary, great.
It's, yeah, so it's not in our, like we were doing bike nights downtown of Calgary at one point, and it was scary because, you know, you bring 200-300 motorcycles to a downtown location. It's, yeah, no parking and risk of accident and stuff. So this is really great where we've got our own motorcycle parking. And it's been a really great partnership with Big Sky.
Not to mention it draws a lot of attention if you're not, if you're in the city versus out of the city.
Correct.
And it's a nice drive. Like, I know the drive from the south side of the city to Okotoks. So it's a nice drive. And it's long. It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah. So our big thing is like, you know, you can go on a ride and meet us there for dinner. And then we do free giveaways. Like Grover Law Firm has, last year he donated at every single bike night. He was just giving away gift cards, which is so great. So it was a gas gift card. So you could come and maybe leave with something. So we're going to continue that this year and hopefully find a whole bunch of different sponsors that can jump on board.
Okay. So what are you looking for from a sponsor besides donating, say, gifts at your bike nights or supporting the membership and talking about One Broken Biker? What are you looking for from?
Yeah, so we actually have a perks program as well. So when you become a member of OBB, you get a card, and then you just go on our website and you can check out how many perks we have. And the perks are just different businesses. So say Calgary Harley-Davidson became a perks program. I don't know if they still are. I'm just throwing that name out there. But they can give a discount for, you know, 10% off merchandise. Or we've got a couple bike shops in Calgary that give us a special rate just based off of our membership. And then you just show your card and they give you a discount.
Okay. Now, what about making a donation, like a sponsor making a sizable donation to One Broken Biker? Is that, would you consider them a sponsor or more of an ambassador, or is that still part of what you're...
Oh, yeah, it's still part of the sponsorship. We're working on right now having like a sponsorship tier so that you donate X amount and then you get this at throughout the whole year. We used to do that back in the day, but then we got a really good sponsorship from Grover Law Firm, and it's really helped us raise tons of money and be able to focus on other aspects. So we haven't done that, but we're looking to do it this year. So if you became a sponsor, like somebody donated today $1,000 on our website from a company. And so immediately it's like, I sent it to the treasurer. Hey, can you reach out to them, thank them for this sizable donation, and then also do a post about them. They did the donation based off of the fact that we've helped a full bunch of their employees. And they just did a fundraiser within their little community and donated it to OBB. We see that all the time. Like lots of clubs and groups will host their own events or own rallies, and then they raise the money, and then they show up to one of our bike nights and they're like, here's $3,000. We did a run for you. And it's like, didn't even know it was happening.
Right on. Yeah. But I mean, more than anything, you're probably looking for sponsors that model Grover's participation in the organization.
It would be amazing. Like, he donates 2 motorcycles to us right now per year. So it helps us raise almost $100,000 a year. And it would be great to have some sort of other type of sponsorship where we could either cover the costs of like stickers or all of our pamphlets. Like, those are $10,000 a year. If somebody came in and said, hey, I'll just purchase them all for you, that would be definitely something we could, we would appreciate.
Media company, so a printing company.
Yeah, that would just, you know, cover the cost for us. Or we've even had like an oil and gas company say, like, because right now we're a nonprofit, and we don't have that charitable where you can give a receipt.
There's a registration number. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that. But what a workaround of it is, well, we can give you a receipt and pay for all our stickers for the year, and then they can use that as a write-off for their business. But
you do have a GST number, right?
Well, we don't need a GST number because we don't collect any GST.
Oh, okay. So you're not selling any merchandise or anything?
So that's a difference. So what we have is our clothing company is out of the nonprofit side. So it's 2 different entities, I guess you would say. Mostly just for because our treasurer, it already has so much stuff going in, and she's like, you know, this is a lot. We should just have this as its own business. And it's very time consuming to be running the clothing. We're trying to get to a point where we can hire somebody, and then it's not out of donation dollars. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, so it's like a society.
Yeah, and so running its own business, and then the clothing tries to donate as much as it can back, or pay for, you know, whatever it needs to pay. But it's just vanilla. The clothing company isn't as profitable, right? Like, it's just t-shirt. Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
There may be some things that can be done through AGLC if you haven't looked at it already. Like, we have and stuff like, all good.
Yeah, we have looked at it. So we've had a few issues just because of over the years how we've developed. At first, when OBB started, we would give lump sums of money. So we would raise, you know, $5,000 at a poker run and then donate $5,000 to one family. And then we ran into the fact that the family was like, hey, I don't need this money. Keep it. And we were like, no, you have to take this money because we told everybody we were raising it for you. And they're like, yeah, but that's just too much money. We don't need it. So then the next year we were like, how can we make this? Okay, maybe we'll break it up. And then I think it was in 2016 or 2017, we ended up getting, up until that point, we were only helping like one or two people a year. And then that year we had like 28 people contact us. And it was, we were not prepared. It was, we had people text messaging, emailing, you know, Facebook messaging, and we were just losing track of it. So then we changed to gift cards. So we would donate out gift cards that would cover like possible parking, food in or around that area. And then that wasn't as transparent as we would want it to be. So then we switched to check, and it started off at $250 per check, and now we're at $850 per check. We just keep growing it. And the more we grow, like next year, we are on a projection to up that amount for next year. We try to do it every couple years, see how the funding is going, and then every couple years we'll increase the amount we're giving to injured riders.
Oh my gosh, just fascinating. I actually feel somewhat of the exhaustion maybe that somebody who was injured might feel in that, you know, I'm hurt, now what? And so I understand the person that was injured doesn't have to be the one that goes to the website and report the injury, right? You can actually report an injured biker. Okay. And so that's a relatively simple process.
Yeah, you just go to our website, and like, if you know your neighbor crashed and all you have to have is their contact information, if they are not able to communicate on the phone, then we ask like the next person in line, whoever that may be, their caretaker or mom and dad or who, you know, whoever's next. And then once we have their contact, we can start the process. And it's a very simple process, and we will help. Since we started this website and have it, had injured riders report to us that way, we funnel it. Like, even if I crash, I wouldn't be able to get support from the organization unless that report was filled out. It's just how it is. I hope I never crash and I don't ever want support from OBB, but it's just that we just keep it that process. And since we've created that process, we have never turned away a single person. So every single person has either been offered support as long as they've fallen in. We have a few guidelines and they're simple. It's that it has to be a road accident. It can't be dirt. Right. Or like you, on a racetrack. So if you are on a the race, we don't. But if you are on a road and there's insurance and everything, we still follow with that. The accident has to be within 6 months. We have a little bit of leeway on that. We've had a couple people. One gentleman was in a coma for almost a year, and he came out and he had proof of everything, and we still supported him because it goes to the board of directors and we all just vote on it. And then they have to be a Canadian citizen.
Right.
Yeah. So even if you were in passion,
but you're supporting.
Say it again.
It is Canadian bikers.
Yeah. Across the world. So if you were to crash in Thailand on a scooter, we would still support you.
Doesn't matter where you crash, it matters that you're Canadian.
Yeah. It's just that only comes down to the fact that our organization, like there's laws between the U.S. and the Canadian nonprofits. And right now we can't support because we don't even collect U.S. dollars.
Right.
The hope is one day we will have a spinoff and have a chapter in the U.S. That's the plan. But for now, we just have to focus on Canada and making sure that our each chapter is set up and is a well-oiled machine before we jump that border.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk more about that. Let's see if we can try some of that for you. There's a big question I have for you.
Okay.
And it has to do with new riders. So It doesn't matter what age range, but I happen to have a youngster interested in bikes who will end up having a motorcycle one day. Like already has the dirt bike, so it's happening. We know it's happening. What advice do you have for not only parents or people who love these eager beers that want to be on a bike, but them? Yeah. What advice do you have for that?
Well, first for the parents, just gear them up, please. Gear is very important, and do not slack on the gear. And that's, as a parent, I think that's their responsibility until they get to an age that they're making their own decisions. But I really, gear is so important. We've seen so many minor accidents that have turned into really bad accidents, brain injuries, broken jaws, those types of things where it's like, that could have just been avoided. Such a minor. And then for kids, I think the biggest thing would, for me, and I have to check myself all the time because I don't want to crash, but just the ego and being in touch with your own ego and knowing that, yes, that throttle is right at your hand and you could do some crazy things, you know, but there's a time and place and you have to be calculated to make those risky moves and don't do that all the time. Because everybody, you ride a motorcycle, there's nothing like it when you're ripping down the highway and it's like nothing can stop you until that deer jumps out, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Or a bee gets in your helmet or a bird dives on it. Like, I mean, it's something little sometimes.
It's just really checking that ego because I even witnessing my dad's accident, it's all settled and everything. But even sometimes with that, his was the type of accident he had. It was like a road rage situation. A lady cut him off, brake checked him. It was horrible. So that lady was so tunnel vision and so like focused. And then that brought my dad's attention to her instead of watching what was happening around, you know? So I'm just very like, tunnel vision is a real thing. And you get hyper-focused or angry or whatever the case is, and you're focusing on something and you're missing what's happening over here. And yeah, again, just comes back to that ego. You just got to check it.
So I just want to make sure too, you don't have to be a biker to buy a membership. And you don't have to, there was another question that I had. You don't have to be a member to attend events.
Yes, or get support from OBV.
Right.
We will help any injured motorcyclist as long as it falls in the three things that we talked about. And we just hope you become a member after we supported you, because it's a big way of us continuing our growth.
Right. And the membership comes with lots of perks, lots of different things like discounts on a variety of, and I've seen the list. I mean, it's a long list. But yeah. So what do you want to tell anybody who's listening?
It would just be buy a membership. I learn about One Broken Biker, you know, because it is such a different kind of organization. And it's when you're in the biking community or just getting into the biking community, you will see that there's all different types of groups and you've got, you know, different clubs and different RCs. And this is for everybody. This is an organization that is for every type of club, group, riding style. Like, we need your support as much as, if you crash, you need our support.
Right. So what can you tell me about this tour that you've done with the bike shows?
It's been amazing, but...
Besides happy airlines. Crappy airlines.
Yeah. But that is what it is, right? We just kind of roll with it and try not to... Yeah, I'm very much... My personality is very much half glass full.
Yeah.
Glass half
full.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just kind of roll with things and I try not to dwell on things. The bike shows, so we did the Vancouver bike show, Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto, and now we're heading to Nova Scotia tomorrow for the motorcycle show. And it's been really great for us. we're really trying to get organized, like chapters started in each city that we're going to. So it's been really great, and it's helping our organization grow and getting our name out there. So it's been amazing, but it's been exhausting. We've been
the cost is time consuming. Yeah.
Well, and still we're working full time in between it.
So jet lag.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Is this the first year of bike shows for One Broken Bike Group?
We've been doing them since 2018, maybe, was our first year. But because of COVID, we missed 2 or 3 years. Can't even remember.
But in all the cities or just
yeah, we've been going to Calgary and Edmonton since 2018. And then I think in 2019, we did Toronto and Vancouver. And then 21, 22, there were no shows.
Right. So just the first year back.
Yeah.
It's the biggest year. You've gotten more places this year than any other year.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been really great. And we're trying to grow our membership because pre-COVID, we were at about 1,500 members yearly, and it was doing really well. And then COVID happened, and because we couldn't go out, we couldn't meet people. We dropped down to about 800. And now we're really trying to push back to that 1,500. We're doing pretty good though. We're getting up there. So
at every bike show, is a bike given away?
No. At every bike show, we have a motorcycle to showcase, and we give our motorcycles away that are donated by Grover Law Firm at the end of or mid-November.
Okay. But you can only buy tickets at the show.
At any event that OBB is at. So bike night.
Okay.
Yes, we just don't do tickets online because we don't sell tickets. Tickets are free. So you show up to an event, you can fill out up to 5 tickets for free. If you make a donation, we are super appreciative of it. But if you don't make a donation, it's not a big deal.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what else can we share with you? What else do we want to get out there?
Most of it is just the fact that I want to spread this organization. And if you have a company or a group, or you have ideas of or want to get involved with something, contact us, because we're just really wanting more people to be involved in this, because we do want to take it nationwide. And we want it to be a well-oiled machine. And I guess that would be the biggest thing, is that get involved with this organization. Even if your company can just get involved with us or promote us or really anything, we just will take anything we'll get at this point. We want to be across Canada within the next 5 years.
Okay. So, and is there anyone in particular you would like to get in touch with you, Dora?
Anyone? What do you mean?
Media, is there anything that you want to pull in directly to have conversations with you?
Yeah, we would love more media, because I think more media gets us more attention and gets more companies involved. So yeah, we've done a couple news reports, and usually in the spring we always do something with the local news in Calgary, just to talking about, there's a lot of fatalities at the beginning of the year. So we usually end up talking about fatalities, which is not always the way we want it, because we would rather have, hey, this is what we're doing. No,
right.
This is how many people have died, and this organization supports them.
Yeah. So as far as that goes, I understand there was a magazine that you were featured on the cover of. Was it last year?
Revolution. I have it on my wall right now. Revolution magazine did a photo shoot. It was fun.
So are you up for photos with people when they come out to the event?
Oh yeah. If you are at an event, you see me, do not be afraid to come up and talk to me, because I am a ball of joy, and I've got a lot of energy, and I get very excited when I meet people. It's definitely how I energize. So I love doing videos.
Did you say you're an extrovert? Sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting. I am an extrovert, but my recharging is at home. and leave me alone. I need down days. My wife always says, she's like, you're having like an emo day. And it's just because I just need the lights off. I just want to watch a movie. I don't want to talk to anybody. But then once I get back out there, I'm like, I just light right up and get very excited to be a part of the community again.
Oh, very good. So does your wife ride?
Oh, she sure does. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's on her own bike and she's got a big bike as well. And yeah, we don't do as much riding as we'd like to because I'm often at events and can't ride to them. But yeah, this year I'm really trying to make, I want to do some more rides.
And we're starting early this year. Apart from the last 2 days that had snow, there were people out on bikes already.
We've had 3 accidents come in already this month. Yeah.
This month?
From Calgary. Yeah. 3 accidents, which really, because I can't imagine, I know I've seen the riders out, but, you know, that's a high percentage of people crashing. And all 3 of them, they hit ice. So it's just not a time to ride yet. And I very much wait. I wait until the streets are fully cleared. I try to my best because, you know, it can be
Calgary times.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely, when those tires are so cold and the ground is so cold, you're very high chance of going down. It's just increased. So.
Okay. Ashley Taylor, founder and president of One Broken Biker, thank you very much for joining me. I encourage everybody to go and visit onebrokenbiker.org, find out more about the organization, see if there's an opportunity for you to volunteer, get involved, go out to an event, and by all means, if you are in a position to donate, and if you're in a position to become a sponsor, Ashley would absolutely love to hear from you directly. And you can email her. Email address is on the website or on your socials.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was great.
Copyright for this interview is owned by Jennifer Palmer of Moments with Jen. Visit Moments with Jen for more to this interview. Not all of it's here, but it has been published here with the permission of Jennifer Palmer. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, and share. And we always love reviews. Until next time, thanks for listening.